Welcome to Heart, a podcast about all things heart-related, presented by the Physicians of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists. I'm your host, Linnea Allen. Today, we're discussing syncope with Dr. Trey Baucom of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists located in Shreveport, Louisiana. Dr. Baucom, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Dr. Baucom, if you would, please let's start by telling me a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I'm a cardiologist, and I really do mostly general interventional cardiology, but also did additional training in electrophysiology. And that's what gave me some experience with syncope. That's where I've seen so many of my patients, because electrophysiologists end up seeing a lot of people that pass out.
Okay. Well, we've already brought up the topic. So tell me, what is syncope?
So syncope is the medical term for passing out. And of course, it covers any form of passing out. But so much syncope falls into a rather benign form called neurocardiogenic syncope. And that ends up being about 85% of syncopal episodes.
And is that dangerous?
Usually not. When I started my training, and even up to the late 80s, we really didn't know what caused syncope. About 85% of syncope was unexplained. But then after that, some doctors explained neurocardiogenic syncope and invented a thing called a head-up tilt test, and that changed everything. After that test, we started understanding the physiology behind passing out, and we were able to describe it, and now about 85% of syncopal episodes fall into that category. And so I see a lot of people that pass out, and the vast majority of them do not have a life-threatening problem. Now, it can be dangerous when you're unconscious. When you pass out, you don't protect yourself. So you can fall down, break your arm, knock teeth out. You can hurt yourself. But it is not life-threatening.
Okay. So my understanding is the history behind it is very interesting, as are the statistics involved. Can you shed some light there?
It is. I mean, syncope has been around forever. You find it in ancient literature. Dante talked about it. I mean, people have been describing syncope for a long time. And often there's some overlap with seizure disorder, because some people that have seizures pass out, obviously, but some people that pass out will have a seizure briefly as they're passing out. And so there's been some misunderstanding about that. But syncope has been around forever, and it's only recently, like I said, since about 1990, that we really understood what was going on behind the scenes.
And so as far as cost of evaluation, that type of thing.
Yeah. Syncopal episodes account for over 1 million emergency room visits a year. The cost to society is hundreds of millions of dollars, and much of the workup is probably unnecessary. Now, that sounds strong, but a lot of the workup is a little bit misguided. People that come in with a syncopal episode often get CAT scans, extensive lab work, sometimes MRI, sometimes EEGs, a lot of testing that really doesn't get to the heart of the, by far, the most common reason people pass out. And it's a little bit frustrating, because a lot of times when I see a patient that has syncope, I know within the first 10 or 20 seconds what's wrong with them. Once they tell me their story, once they describe the episodes to me, I and most cardiologists can tell you what made them pass out. And usually there's often a simple treatment. And so a lot of the evaluation is unnecessary.
Okay, so tell me some of the questions that you might ask someone, and what leads you to understand that that is indeed their condition?
So after years and years of doing this over and over again, what I found was that I asked patients to describe a typical syncopal episode to me very carefully. I said, you know, really second by second, what was the first thing you noticed? What was the next thing you noticed? And by listening to them tell the story of how they passed out and the situation that they were in when they passed out, were they standing? Were they nauseated? Were they ill from some other reason? Will lead me in the direction of what happened. And really, like I said, the vast majority of times, I can tell what happened based on that careful history taking. And, you know, in our modern day with all our technology, that's done even less and less frequently. But a careful history and physical exam is the most important thing in making the diagnosis of syncopal episode.
What causes it?
So neurocardiogenic syncope is a very complicated reflex that we all have. And so the heart is a pump that constantly pumps blood. And it has to match the amount that it's pumping out with the amount that's returning to it. And it seems obvious, and we take it for granted, like breathing, but it has to be accomplished. The heart can never pump more blood out than is returning to it. And the way your body accomplishes that is there's sensors all throughout your body, in your legs, your intestines, your lungs, in your carotids, and inside your heart itself, to give a tremendous amount of information to your brain about what's going on. If you get in a situation where the amount of blood being pumped out of the heart is a little bit greater than the amount returning to it, the heart shrinks down as small as it can get. When it can't get any smaller and is still not filling the way it wants to, that stimulates the C fibers, the sensors inside the heart. When the C fibers are stimulated, that starts a thing called the Jarisch-Bezold reflex, and that makes your heart rate drop dramatically and your blood pressure drop dramatically. In some patients, it's just the heart rate. Some patients, it's just the blood pressure. But in most people, it's both their heart rate and their blood pressure. When they lose consciousness, because if you deprive the brain of fresh blood flow, it shuts off instantly. You pass out. When you hit the deck, blood can slosh back to your heart, a couple of good beats, and you wake right back up. And that's sort of the story most people say. It's like, well, as soon as I hit the ground, I came right to, I knew where I was and what had happened, as opposed to a prolonged period of unconsciousness, which is not typical of this, or being very confused or having incontinence when they passed out. So if they wake right back up, assuming they didn't hit their head on the way down, that is typical of neurocardiogenic syncope. And also the symptoms as it starts, many people get a warning. They start having dimming vision or the sensation of ringing in their ears or a funny sound in their ears, followed often by flushing, nausea, and the sense that they're going to lose consciousness. And so when they give a story like that, it is almost always neurocardiogenic syncope.
Okay, so what you're saying leads me to believe that there are different types.
There are. And so, like I said, the vast majority of syncopal episodes fall into that category. Even if it's situational, I smashed my toe and then passed out, or a sight of blood and I passed out, I got nauseated or had cramps and passed out. Some people pass out after urinating. Some people pass out after coughing real vigorously. But all of those, the final common pathway is this thing, neurocardiogenic syncope, because all those situations lower the amount of blood returning to the heart, but don't diminish the amount being pumped out of the heart. And so it puts them in that situation where they pass out. And so it covers a lot of territory, but sort of that's the final pathway. And you can treat them all pretty much the same way.
Are there risk factors involved?
So a lot of people will have a situational syncope. I was sick for some other reason, nausea, vomiting, dehydrated for some reason, and I passed out. And so sometimes if it's only happened once and it's very clearly situational, we may not recommend any additional workup or any treatment. A lot of people, though, are at risk for it and will have recurrent syncopal episodes. And then sometimes it's, you know, really interferes with their life. They pass out every time they have to stand in line. They pass out every time they're exposed to a certain temperature. And so those are the people that need more workup and more treatment. Now, anyone that passes out, we do recommend a screening workup, which includes a history and physical exam, usually an EKG and often an echocardiogram. The EKG and the echo, though, are really to make sure you don't have some other form of syncopal episode that can be life-threatening.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier treatment. So what is the treatment for
this? So oddly enough, the most common treatment for this is a beta blocker, which is a class of high blood pressure medicine. But if you give it in low dose, it keeps the heart from squeezing down very vigorously. So it stops their heart from triggering the reflex and causing them to pass out. And when you explain it to patients, you know, sometimes they're a little bit skeptical. So you're giving me a high blood pressure medicine to keep my blood pressure from going too low. But it does work. And it, for the reasons I said, it keeps your heart from triggering this reflex. The other most common medication are serotonin uptake inhibitors, which are most commonly known as antidepressants. By blocking serotonin in the brain, it blocks the second part of this reflex. So it has nothing to do with depression. And I have to explain that to patients. Like, I don't secretly think you're depressed and I'm trying to put you on this medicine. A side effect of a lot of antidepressants, serotonin uptake inhibitors, are that it blocks syncopal episodes. So the two groups that get syncope are usually adolescents less than their mid-20s. So people that are 13, 14, 15, up to their mid-20s, that's the first group. And then people over 60 tend to get this. And so when you're treating them, although the treatment's often the same, a lot of times in a teenager, if they can't tolerate the beta blocker, you might have to put them on a serotonin uptake inhibitor. Or sometimes we have to put them on a combination of both. Plus education. Of course, we tell people avoid dehydration. If you're in a situation that you feel like you might have a syncopal episode, you have to take it seriously. If you lie down immediately, it'll pass. But if you challenge it, if you say, well, it's just another 15 feet to the car and try to make it, you're going to pass out and it's going to be even more embarrassing than lying down right where you are.
All right. Okay, so when should somebody be concerned enough to call the doctor? If they pass out once or if it happens multiple times, what's that key factor?
The problem is, and you don't ever want to overly alarm people, that unfortunately, sometimes passing out is the harbinger of something more serious. And so you really do need to talk to an expert about it to figure out if you're in the group of people that are going to have benign syncope that's, you know, a nuisance but not life-threatening, or was this the first episode of something very dangerous? So anytime someone passes out, I think they need to be seen by a cardiologist. I think they need to have an EKG and probably an echo. And that's going to lower their risk of having something life-threatening dramatically. Certainly, even if you think you know what happened and you have multiple syncopal episodes, you need to come to the doctor. But when you come to us and you tell us your story, the thing that scares us is if you ever passed out while sitting or lying down, or if you passed out while exerting yourself. Those are clues that there may be something more serious going on. Or if you're very young, if you're pre-adolescent and you're having syncopal episodes, unfortunately, sometimes those are more dangerous and need a more thorough evaluation.
Okay. Any further thoughts? Any final thoughts?
It's such a common problem, and so many people have it or have friends that have it. And then even in this day and age, I still see people that have really sort of gotten the wrong workup. And so I would just encourage you to speak to a cardiologist, probably to speak to an electrophysiologist about this, and you'll probably find out it's not as bad as you thought, and there's a simple treatment that can help you.
Well, thank you very much for this information, Dr. Baucom. To learn more about syncope and other cardiovascular-related topics, visit acsdoctors.com.